really happened radio show. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And I guess the White House didn't like my little flip comment relative to their announcement that there was no terror threat going to happen in conjunction with the anniversary of the guy they killed and said was Osama bin Laden, because now it's just now hitting the corporate media. Terror advisory. There's a terror threat coming. It's going to be on the bin Laden anniversary. It's this. It's that. Have you ever noticed how weird it is that the government and the media always know when there's a terror threat, but they don't know who's doing it, where it's going to happen, or who's behind it? Let's put it in another context. Can you imagine the news coming out and saying, tomorrow, a bank will be robbed? But we don't know who's doing it, which bank it's going to be, or how much they're going to take. How could they possibly have the bank is going to be robbed and none of the other information? If they're inside enough to know the bank robbery is coming down, they're going to have all that other information. This isn't news, it's propaganda. Somebody said, you know, let's just let this whole bin Laden thing pass because of the embarrassment over the faked photos. And somebody else just said, no, we got to keep up the level of fear. We've got to keep up the level of fear ahead of whatever we're going to do in Chicago so that we can get the war with Iran going. It's not just Israel's government that's factionalized. It is our own. All right, we're going to go back to the phones here. Chris in Tennessee. Aloha, Chris. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, good afternoon, Mike. First off, your last caller that was against public schools, I myself am proud to be a public school educated individual. Even though I suffer from dyslexic, get my words confused sometimes. But one thing we had in our school, we had trade schools for people who wanted to better themselves, and we also had art and music. Then when we moved down here in Tennessee 20 years ago, there was no music classes in a public school down here, and there is no art classes down here. And I really think that it hurts the children because they get to a point later in life where they're unable to fill out a check, unable to fill out a job application, and pretty much they were smoking all day in the boys' room instead of doing what they're supposed to, is get an education. What the main thing that I wanted to speak to you about this morning, though, Mike, did you catch the story about the staff sergeant at Camp Pendleton who was making up "No Obama" in 2012, who was discharged from the Marine Corps after 9 years, an Iraqi veteran, booted out of the Marine Corps with a dishonorable discharge, and now the guy's saying, well, I'm unable to get a job. He was a lifer who was unable to get a job in the first place. The only thing he knows how to do is kill people, and an explosive expert. Now he's thrown into society with a dishonorable discharge where he's unable to vote, he's unable to own a firearm, and he's pretty much going to be trying to get himself a shopping cart and be a bag person on the street. So what I'm trying to say is the man lost, won the war, but lost the battle. And he claimed, Mike, that it was his first amendment rights as freedom of speech. Well, the fact of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, when you sign the piece of paper for the volunteer army or military service that you choose, you give up all rights. You do not own your own body, period.
Well, I know the paper says that, but I think maybe it's time to put it to a Supreme Court challenge. We're coming up on a commercial break here, so, Dalton, I'm going to let you go here and finish up when we come back. But my opinion would be that people who put on the uniform to fight for that Bill of Rights ought to be protected by it no matter what. And I consider this a very inappropriate action by the Marine Corps High Command to punish a man who put his life on the line for the First Amendment and then exercised it. Now, if he did it on his own time, I think they're way out of line here. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. a complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
If you are a vendor dealer who sells any equipment or service that costs more than $15,000, we can help you make the sale through our low-cost lease finance programs. We are good in all 50 states, including Canada, and we have a very wide credit window. Call Bob New today at 888-639-2621 and let us explain in more detail how we can help you make more sales. Call Bob New today, 888-639-2621.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there's only one, Pure Effect Ultra. It features advanced anti-radiation technology and is constantly rated 5 stars as the number one system for reduction of fluoride, drug and chemtrail residues, heavy metals, and more. It raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and provides virtually instant clean water on demand, all while using no electricity. Want to learn more? Visit PureEffectFilters.com. That's PureEffectFilters.com.
If you're not prepared, GetPreparedExpo.com. The biggest and best preparedness expo in the USA. Coming April 28th and 29th. GetPreparedExpo.com. Over 125 seminars and exhibits. Over $200,000 in exhibitor giveaways. 1,000 packets of heirloom seeds. 1,000 one-year subscriptions to Global Incident Map. 1,000 trial issues of Bob Chapman's International Forecaster. 25 vials of Dr. Sheely's Bliss. 10 Sigma 3 5-day survival courses. Autographed books by James Wesley Rawls, Matt Stein, Julia Shopik, and Dr. Sheely. And plenty more. Saturday and Sunday, April 28th and 29th. Go to GetPreparedExpo.com. One-day passes, $10 at the door. Advanced weekend passes, $15. At GetPreparedExpo.com. GetPreparedExpo.com. Don't miss GetPreparedExpo.com. Saturday and Sunday, April 28th and 29th. Ozark Empire Fairgrounds, Springfield, Missouri. The biggest and best preparedness expo in the USA. If you're not prepared, GetPreparedExpo.com.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working 2 jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far a 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And I want to finish up talking about what Chris in Tennessee was talking about, and I understand the education system, the budget cuts, they've cut out the music programs, they've cut out the art programs, they've cut out the shop class and stuff, and it seems like these days public school is geared to little more than getting the kids ready for military induction. No Child Left Behind and all the rest of that. As far as education itself is concerned, I'm getting a lot of emails from people saying, well, teachers are making too much. They should make no more than the blah, 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 the socialist kind of stuff you're going on. And I absolutely disagree. First of all, I think working people, middle-class people, ought to be making more money, not less. And we could afford to give our teachers higher salaries if we stop spending money on an F-22 that asphyxiates its own pilots, an F-35 that can't fly in the rain and can't land on an aircraft carrier, all these robotic drones that are blowing up people in Yemen. They don't even know who they're targeting anymore. We could have a really good standard of living in this country if we were just taking care of this country and not blowing all these trillions of dollars on Wall Street bailouts, endless wars, and, of course, tithes to Imperial Israel. And so everybody who's calling in to complain about the teachers are being paid way too much, I think your priorities are a little messed up. Our children's futures depend on those teachers far more than on the Pentagon getting a new big shiny bunker buster bomb. And if I were fortunate enough to have children, I would want the very best teachers possible teaching them. Isn't that what we pay taxes for? To to build a better society for the kids to live in? Don't we agree to pay taxes for good roads, good schools, good hospitals? Is it not the government that has usurped our wealth and diverted it to purposes we, the American people, don't agree with? 90% of Americans said do not do TARP. Congress did it anyway. We're talking $100 trillion estimated. The mortgage-backed security fraud has cost the American people and still counting. Now just imagine what $100 trillion poured into our school system would produce in terms of educated children on whom our future depends. There's an old saying that says if you're planning for a year, you plant wheat. If you're planning for 10 years, you plant trees. If you're planning for a century, you educate your children. Our government is not thinking more than a year into the future. The next war, the next battle, the next scam, the next big financial winding. And it's not just education. We've got this sore point out here in Hawaii where the food stamp money doesn't last these families through the entire month. And the kids are running out of food that last week. And so local groups, local churches, local charities are teaming together to literally put together food baskets so the kids have got something to eat the last week of the of every month. And we're going to go in there and shoot a video. Already started shooting a video about that. We're going to put it up on YouTube. And we're going to put it together with this idea that the House of Representatives is saying we got to cut food stamp program anymore. We've got to cut food stamps even more because we got to protect that Pentagon budget. That Pentagon budget is sacrosanct. It is holy. It is what God wants us to do. And we can't take any money away from the Pentagon, even though the Pentagon is in a bad habit of losing it $2 and $3 trillion at a pop. Let us not punish the teachers and through them the children for the sins of the military-industrial complex. And by the way, at the end of this video, we're shooting on this whole child food basket program. We're going to have Eisenhower's Cross of Iron speech. Because we're there. The U.S. government is hanging your children on a cross of iron in order to keep the flow of weapons going. Now, as far as that Marine who was discharged for being critical of Obama, I would hesitate to say he knows things other than simply how to kill people. If he's an expert with explosives, there's going to be all kinds of things that he can do for industry, mining, so forth and so on. And I'll tell you one more thing. If I were considering anybody for employment at my company, a dishonorable discharge would mean absolutely zip to me. Wouldn't matter one tiny bit. If they can do the job and they know what they're doing in terms of the needs for the job, I'd hire them. Dishonorable discharge is not going to have one piece of influence on me, and I'm going to tell everybody out here in America right now, listen to this show. Because we know these dishonorable discharges are being handed out to punish people for expressing their First Amendment rights, then you should ignore a dishonorable discharge as well. It may, in fact, be the highest decoration our military people can be wearing, because it means they took a stand on principle rather than simply doing what they're told. Now, we're going to grab another phone call here. Dalton in Detroit. Aloha, Dalton. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks, Mike, for taking my call. If you'll allow me to shift gears for a moment. Earlier in the week, you were talking about the G20 NATO summit meeting in Chicago, May 19th through the 21st. And I've been watching on YouTube a lot of the occupiers, what they plan on doing, and a couple things about this is it's going to be really intense there. These occupiers are getting more, they're getting more frustrated, they're getting more downtrodden, deeper in debt, and they're getting a little bit desperate. It's going to be ugly, and Rahm Emanuel is amassing basically an army down there. And what I'm concerned about is, we talked about a possible false flag, is that Obama's going to be showing up, and let's not forget that 7 to 10 of his Secret Service are being replaced with a new team. I think he should be careful. You never really know, because the last thing I want is something to happen to him and him be a martyr for the next 100 years. But it's interesting that that whole prostitution thing came out. We have a bunch of guys that had to step down. We have a new team coming in to protect them. And
now we got the new one in Brazil. But I'll let you know something, because I had a conversation with a local representative of the Secret Service, and actually the turnover on the protective detail is actually quite high. People get, you know, it's a lot of stress for them to live with, and, yeah, the turnover is very high. So I'm not sure that that's necessarily a factor as opposed to, like, a complete stand-down like we saw in Dallas, Texas, when John F. Kennedy got killed, where the Secret Service were literally told, get off the car, wait, stay here, don't go along. You're absolutely correct in that if Netanyahu wanted a false flag to galvanize the American people into a war against Iran, given that Obama is absolutely opposed to escalating the wars anymore, but I think Joe Biden has kind of said, yeah, Iran, blowing up Iran would be kind of cool. Yeah, Obama could be a target of Israel very easily. We know that Israel was involved in the assassination of John F. Kennedy because Kennedy did not want Israel to acquire nuclear weapons. So, yeah, could very, very easily be a target there as well. Now, I want to say something about the Occupy people who are going to be there. They're not the ones who are going to be causing the trouble. Okay? And if you are part of the Occupy movement and if you are planning on going to Chicago for the G20 summit, please listen very carefully. That smelly kid standing next to you with the dynamite saying, let's blow up something, is with the FBI or the local police. They're going to be there to try and cause trouble to make the Occupy movement look bad. And of course, obviously, Obama would love domestic upset so that he could campaign on that. He'd love race riots. He could campaign on that. But absolutely, Chicago is going to be extraordinarily ugly. I don't even know why the G20 is having it here in the first place. But, yeah, they're going to be pounding that for every political gain that they can get. And I guarantee you there are going to be undercover cops and undercover FBI in that crowd trying to cause as much trouble as possible to make you look bad. And one more thing, if you have the little cameras inside the sunglasses, if you have the cameras inside the pen, if you have the little Luxy, we're still trying to get somebody from that company to come on our show and talk about it, have those there, because the only way you're going to keep the police in check is if they know there are cameras in that crowd that they cannot detect and don't know what is being broadcast live to the net during this whole situation. One more thing here, Dalton, before I let you talk again, we were going to talk about this a little later in the show, but this is germane to the situation. Connecticut has just introduced a bill which would hold police officers personally liable in the case of lawsuits over wrongful arrests of people taking pictures or video of protests. It has been established all across the country in all the court systems. You have a First Amendment right to take video or pictures of anything happening in the public, including what the police are doing. And the police have been arresting people and bashing their cameras and then figuring, oh, the taxpayers will cover the losses, but at least we kept the embarrassing information from getting out. That's not going to apply any longer. If this bill passes in Connecticut, it will set the legal precedent that at least in the case of arrests, wrongful arrests by the police over videography and photography, that police officer will personally pay the resulting fines and court settlement. Personally, out of his pocket, have to sell his home, have to sell his car, have to pull his kids out of private school and put them back in the public school system. I think this is a tremendous blow for accountability. But, yeah, remember, always remember, the government loves to fight dirty, and they're going to be fighting dirty in Chicago. Dalton, yep. Anything else on your mind?
Yeah, one last thing is this may be the first time that we're going to see if this new executive order that Obama signed, where you're not allowed to protest where the Secret Service is present, and it's, according to Judge Napolitano, it's a one-year possible and is a mandatory felony. So we may see some really heavy stuff going down.
I think that needs a constitutional challenge. That has to go right to the Supreme Court as a constitutional channel. The First Amendment says the right to peacefully assemble and petition the government for redress of grievances. If you're not allowed to petition the president, that's unconstitutional. And somebody's going to have to make a test case out of this.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, we got to take a break here. We'll be back with more phone calls after these words from our sponsors.
Wow. What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372. Or go to teravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Teravim, the best supplements on earth.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with Hawthorne, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
Border guard in uniform takes a shooting position on a hill not far away. Sniper rifle to his eye, you can see him taking aim. The crack of gunfire, two innocent ones fall.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to go back to the phones. Matt in Colorado. Aloha, Matt. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind today?
Yeah, aloha, Michael. Thanks for taking my call. I had two things I want to talk about. One, I live in Boulder, Colorado, and Obama just did a college tour. I think he hit North Carolina, University of Iowa, and Boulder, Colorado on Tuesday. Did a lecture at the university. I have to say that guy is such an eloquent speaker that he hypnotizes people. He straight up lies. I mean, he was talking about the student loan interest rates and talking about how him and his wife, Michelle, had worked their way through college and this and that, and it was, there's everyone lines up outside at 5 a.m. to get tickets, and I just thought it was absurd. I just wanted to make that statement. And then secondly,
yeah, I agree.
And I wanted to ask you primarily about the Fukushima radiation fallout and its effect on Hawaii. I've got some friends living there and was, in fact, contemplating moving there myself and wondered if you have any information concerning toxicity levels or things of that nature.
Well, because of the North Pacific Gyre Current, most of the radiation passes us by to the north. and it's actually showing up much more intensely on the west coast of Canada and the United States of America. We are getting some here. We do daily radiation readings here, and there is no question that we've seen a few hot days, and overall, the average trend has been a little bit higher than it was before Fukushima, but it's still within what is considered a safe level. So as far as the radiation is concerned, you know, it's an area of concern, but nobody's hitting the panic button over here. What we're worried about now, of course, is that the physical debris from the tsunami is now approaching this end of the archipelago and will start washing up on the beaches. Hopefully by now the heavier isotopes have either gone through their half-lives or they've sintered down to the bottom of the ocean. And we're just going to have to wait and, you know, run a radiation meter over what we see washing up on the beach. It's going to be a huge littering problem. There's no question about that. It's going to really make our beaches look terrible. As far as moving here is concerned, I mean, obviously it's a very lovely place, but our economy has been destroyed by the TSA, and, you know, we have people who will move out here. If you're not in the military, you know, where Uncle Sam and the taxpayers are paying for your vacation out here in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. But if you come on out here, it is not uncommon these days to see people come out here thinking they're going to find a job, or in some cases, very tragically, they were promised a job, and then the company promising them the job collapses, and they stick around trying to find something else until they reach the point where they literally have to sell or throw away everything they own in the world just to be able to get themselves back on a plane and go someplace else. And we see these piles of we call them bailout piles, or in some cases they're eviction piles, of just the entire household belonging sitting on the curb waiting for the heavy pickup to pick it up there. And it's just a stark and sad reminder that life out here in Hawaii has become very, very hard and difficult for the people out here. We've got thousands of homeless people living down around the center lock of Pearl Harbor. In fact, just this last week, Dog the Bounty Hunter reran that show where they were looking for a guy who was living down there in that homeless camp, and they hunted for him for 5 days and couldn't find him. And when that show first aired, it made the homeless problem here in Hawaii a national scandal. And so, of course, the government of Hawaii said, well, go down and chase him someplace else. That was their solution.
One more question for you. That sounds, I sure. Really appreciate that insight that you just shared. You know, if the globalists have their way and spark off World War III with Iran, and if China or Russia become involved, I'm wondering about the safety of Hawaii as a residence, considering the fact that it would be the U.S. military's branch of the Pacific Fleet, I would assume, and wondering what your thoughts were on that.
Well, obviously, it's an area of concern. I mean, most of the assets, the naval assets, are forward based in Guam right now. But we do have some assets here in Pearl Harbor. There are nuclear weapons stored here on this island. The Navy's Seafarer VLF transmitter for the submarines is located over there on the leeward side, giving all of them cancer. And if this goes into a nuclear war with ballistic missiles, there's no question we're living right next door to a first strike target, and that. That tends to make life a little bit tense, but we do have a bailout kit, you know, ready to go, and we know the direction we're going to start driving to get out of the primary shockwave. And it all depends on whether they use strategic nuclear weapons or tactical, because if they use tactical, where we are right now, we'll lose all the windows in the place, but the building will remain standing. If it's strategic, well, there isn't much of any place we can go on the island that's going to be safe. Okay?
Yeah, definitely. Thanks so much for your time. I appreciate your sharing all, right. All the work that you do.
All right. Thanks an awful lot, and we're going to keep on going just as long as we can here. All righty. Quick phone call. Casey in Georgia. Aloha, Casey. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, that's you. Is this me?
Yes. Well, I think so. Okay. You're fine. How am I?
Michael, great show. Listen, I told the guy that answers the phone, your last caller takes me in a different direction, and, you know, as long as you let me talk. I have a friend that has a health food store.
Okay, we're going to have to let you go into the next break. We got to take a commercial break, and we will be right back.
Your You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Friends, I hate to dig up painful memories, but consider this. You were raised on canned spinach, canned beans, canned beer, canned asparagus, and canned Vienna friggin' sausages. So why in tarnation would you buy canned seed? Man up and buy a Texas Ready Liberty Seed Bank. They come in a genuine resealable grab-and-go U.S. Army ammo box that protects your heirloom seeds from light, moisture, and vermin. Leave those other seed kits for the ignorant and spring for a Texas Ready Bank. At Texas Ready, we've thought of the big stuff and the little stuff so you can think of the other stuff. We've got you covered from dirt to dinner. Order a real bank today at TexasReady.net or call 832-493-1357. That's 832-493-1357, TexasReady.net. And remember, nothing good comes from a can.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Sing a song of taxes, working class cancer sore, tea in Boston Harbor, and revolutionary war of giving to the rich and taking from the poor. Sing a song of taxes, let's even up the score. Sing a song of taxes.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're back on the phones with Casey. And Casey, pick up where you left off, please.
I wanted to go on a different tangent. I watched a thing the other night on, I think it was ABC Nightly News with Diane Sawyer. Don't mean to give them a commercial, but anyway. And it was about a family in Alaska that had a soccer ball wash up on the shore, and they got this soccer ball. And it was... it reminded me of Tom Hanks, that movie where he got stranded and his friend was Wilson.
Yes.
But this person from Japan had written all this stuff on it, and they tied it back to him, and he got his soccer ball back, and it was after the Fukushima thing. And this friend of mine in Daytona is saying, the fish is safe, the fish is safe, the fish is safe, and I'm saying, I don't think so.
Well, I would tend to agree with you, and we're starting to hear reports that at least the local authorities around the Gulf of Mexico are starting to put a ban on certain kinds of fishing activity, especially the shrimp, because of all the mutations that are coming out of there. And germane to both the Gulf of Mexico and Fukushima, we put a link at whatreallyhappened.com today to this new computer graphic presentation of the way currents flow on the Earth's oceans, and it's quite amazing to look
out.
At.
Yeah,
you got to check that out, because one of the things that's very obvious is there's this very intense loop current that goes right through the Gulf of Mexico, comes right back out around the tip of Florida, and is dragging all that oil and corrects it up the Atlantic fishing grounds.
Yeah.
And so what they're experiencing now in the Gulf of Mexico with the mutations, I would expect to see it starting to be reported all the way up the Atlantic seacoast. As far as the soccer ball is concerned, I mean, the world's oceans, they're all made out of water. If something doesn't actually sink, sooner or later, it's going to wash up someplace. All of that foam from the outside of the space shuttle external tanks that they've been dumping into the Pacific Ocean during the whole shuttle program, that's all still out there floating around someplace. It doesn't sink. It's not biodegradable. And, you know, just, you know, beach coping here on the island of Oahu, we see all kinds of weird stuff wash up on here from all parts of the Pacific bin, Pacific Rim, rather. And, yeah, it's the reality is we know they've already seen Japanese debris from the quake and tsunami working its way down from Midway Island, and they're figuring another 6 months to a year it's going to start showing up in our local waters. The local fishing people are very concerned about it. Dive boat operators, obviously the people taking care of the beaches. It could be a big problem. It may just be nothing more than a curiosity. Personally, I think we ought to box it all up and sell it as on eBay as souvenirs from, you know, Hawaii or something.
Right.
Probably find some people. You know, I'll grab some of it from my debris collection. I have this one and only unique in the world debris collection. It's got a piece of trinitite from the world's first atomic bomb, and it's got dust from Mount St. Helens, and it's got a lump of coal from the Titanic, and it's got dust from the World Trade Towers. So now I need a piece of debris from Fukushima to sort of round out this commercial.
This friend of mine, this friend of mine down in the Daytona Beach, he is in contact with a tribe in Alaska. It's Shunak. That's the Shunak people of the Shunak tribe. And they are fishers. And they are telling him, everything's okay. But you made a statement back, I don't know, weeks ago. Correct me if I'm wrong. You said the thing's going to hit the fan when the first kid with a Geiger counter, you know, puts it to a fish that comes out of the ocean that they catch out there.
Yeah, I was specifically talking about crabs, because they are bottom feeders, and as the radioactive debris sinters down onto the bottom, and again, that's what we're seeing in the Gulf. We're seeing mostly the bottom-feeding fish are the ones that are showing all these mutations from the oil and the corrects it. But the context of my comment was the show Deadliest Catch, because they came out here to Hawaii for their end-of-the-year wrap-up last year, and I was invited to come on down and hang out with them because one of the crew members on the show is a huge fan of my show. And off camera, away from the cameras, you know, they were all talking about the possibility that, you know, the FDA said, we're not going to test the crab. We know it's safe, blah, blah, blah. And they said, all it's going to take is one kid with a Geiger counter and a crab on YouTube and the Geiger counter going, yeah, and it's going to be it. Nobody's going to want to buy any seafood from Alaska.
Well, I'm worried about the Alaska salmon. I mean, and the rest of it is farmed somewhere and it's full of agricultural crapola, and it's like, really, it's like you got to mark seafood off your list if you're concerned
about
safety.
It is frightening, because between the Gulf of Mexico and the North Pacific, you know, these money junkies have wiped out a major source of food for the human race.
Amen.
And, you know, they're fighting wars over oil. Are we going to start fighting wars over the last healthy seafood that's out there in the ocean? We need to start putting some serious R&D into stimulating aquaculture. And I know there are some technologies just for stirring up bottom sediment to create these blooms of biological activity in the mid-ocean that basically provide, you know, easily reachable food. But we don't have the money to develop it. Why? Because the money all went to keeping Wall Street out of prison, you know, keeping Israel's roads paved, and buying all these bombs and stuff. And we need to do a major change of direction for the entire planet, and that is that we stop coming up with more inventive ways to murder each other, and we start thinking about how are we going to solve this problem that the money junkies have poisoned so much of the world's food supply, and how are we going to counteract it? How are we going to fix it? You know, fresh water is becoming in short supply. Why are we not putting money into cheap, large-scale desalinization to get the price for desalinated ocean water down to below a dollar a gallon?
I've got Netflix, and they've got a lot. I'm into big documentaries, and
yes.
There's a lot about water wars and things like that. It's stuff that's my eyes are opening that I you know what? It's like I used to use the thing about, you know, I'll use the term New World Order. It worked for me, and It was like an octopus, but it's not. It's like the Hydra on Medusa's head. It is so. it's more than eight. Facets. It's like the Hydra on Medusa's head.
Well, it really is. I prefer, the Hydra and the Medusa are two different creatures, and the lesson of the Hydra is when you'd cut off one head, two more would grow in its place, and you didn't get rid of the Hydra until you killed its heart. And We use that as a model for what's going on here in the United States of America. The heart of the Hydra is at the Federal Reserve. And, you know, the heads are all these corrupt politicians and corrupted media and so forth and so on. But we do face a major problem. You know, everybody's screaming carbon dioxide and carbon credits because they're all thinking about the next scam to put money in their pocket. And they're not actually paying attention to these really serious problems that are starting to appear on the horizon. Mostly because they figure actually having to solve them is going to cost money they don't want to spend. They want to invent imaginary dangers that they can take our money to save us from, and then when the dangers don't show up, say, see, we saved you. Thank you for the money. I'm retiring.
Michael, when I was a kid, there was a man named William Haas. He was a herpetologist, He played with king cobras. Mm-hmm. He was one of the few people that has ever been bitten by a king cobra and survived. But I remember this, and it always struck me. He would, when they would show him dealing with a king cobra, he would have his hand up there in front of that cobra's head, and then the other hand, he was coming up behind him.
Yes.
And I think I see that so much in politics. It's like that thing down there in Sanford, Florida. That's the hand in front of us. What are they coming up behind us with?
Yeah, that's a good analogy. That's a very, very good analogy. All right, well, listen, Casey, I got to let you go. I got a lot of stuff to cover before the end of the show. And,
thanks,
we got a lot,
call.
A lot
God
of stuff
bless.
To cover. You got it. All right, thanks an awful lot. Okay, program note, it appears that our fearless leader, John Steadmiller, has had some kind of an emergency, and he has asked me to step in for this afternoon's show, which starts at 4 p.m. Central to 6 p.m. Central, and so I'm going to be taking the microphone and having you call, and we'll just talk about whatever we feel like talking about, but whatever the situation is with John, I hope it's trivial. I hope it's minor. You know, I hope you'll understand this in the spirit to which it's intended. I hope he's just being lazy and that nothing really serious is going on, but we're always happy to step in and help out on this situation here. Now then, getting back to the situation about the push for war and the GOP candidates, the potential vice presidents are now out there campaigning. They want to prove what a really good vice president they're going to be to whoever the presumptive Republican nominee is going to be, which is kind of silly because vice presidents traditionally aren't allowed to do anything except hold the gavel at the Senate and break tie votes, and that's it. John Adams called being vice president the most boring, punishing job in creation. He used to sit there chairing the United States Senate, and he'd just read the newspaper because there was nothing else for him to do. But Marco Rubio is out there campaigning to be vice president by screaming that the U.S. is going to have to attack Iran. So he's out there proving that he, too, is willing to fight the war against Iran down to the last living American. Now, meanwhile, NORAD and U.S. NORTHCOM are conducting or getting ready to conduct yet another anti-terror training, crush-down-the-people exercise called Ardent Sentry 2012. They're going to be conducting this May 2nd through the 9th. This is concentrating on defense support of civil authorities. In other words, the Army comes in with the tanks and stands there next to the police officers to tell you slaves to go back to your slave pens and stop being so uppity about all this Federal Reserve-created debt. And they're going to be field training events in the exercise in North Dakota, Oregon, Texas, Alaska, Connecticut, Nova Scotia, and will involve United States and Canadian military units. This is a biggie. Now, in theory, they're not going to be out here in Hawaii, but who knows? Now, you've probably seen it on the news, but they've busted some TSA screeners for drug trafficking at Los Angeles International Airport, and they found it only because the guy who was muling the drugs walked through the wrong screening point. And he thought he was talking to a TSA agent that was supposed to help him through the checkpoint, and they found the drugs, and it just really went backwards. And basically, from February 2011 to July 2011, on-duty TSA screeners, when they weren't busy groping four-year-old girls, took payments of up to $2,400 each to allow suitcases filled with drugs to pass through the X-ray machines at Los Angeles International Airport. So let me throw an idea out at you. Let's say that I am a terrorist, okay? A real one, not these phonies, you know, Adam Perlman and Joseph Cohen put a towel from Holiday Inn around their heads and scream, I'm a terrorist. A real terrorist, okay? And I go up to the TSA and say, I will give you $5,000 if you will help me smuggle this briefcase full of cocaine onto the airplane. Only it's not cocaine. It's anthrax or it's sarin, it's whatever. This drug scandal proves that not only is the TSA not capable of defending against a terror attack, they can very easily be bought to assisting one. Because if you're looking at cocaine or you're looking at anthrax spores, they look a lot alike. And unless you're willing to open up the package and get out your little Gilbert chemistry set and your Gilbert microscope to actually look at it very closely, you may not know the difference. Certainly the level of education we see among the TSA, who don't seem to understand why we don't like them, would indicate they're not going to know the difference. So that's my question. When you start talking about this, these TSA guys who were taking $2,400 to let these briefcases full of cocaine get on the airplane, what if in one occasion it hadn't been cocaine? What if it had been anthrax or sarin or something else? What would have happened? Basically, the TSA has advertised to the rest of the world how to get past the TSA. Just offer them money. Meanwhile, we're still seeing the backlash from this incident where the TSA groped a four-year-old girl at a Kansas airport, drove her into hysterics, and the TSA called her uncooperative. She's an uncooperative suspect. You're grabbing her private areas. She probably gets upset when her parents do that. You grab my private parts, I'm going to be uncooperative, and I'm going to be proud of it, too. And they're out there groping four-year-old girls, the seven-year-old on crutches, four-year-old girl to Kansas. And now the TSA is trying to respond to that. And there is no truth to the rumor that the head of the TSA came out and said, I likes them young. There's something about positions of power and authority that attract very, very sick people. And there's another story coming out of Great Britain. Their most senior Buddhist monk, the head Buddhist of the entire country, although being head of a hierarchy, I think is inconsistent with Buddhism in general. But Britain's most senior Buddhist monk has been arrested for raping two girls under the age of 10, one of them in his temple shrine room. And I'm making a point of this because of all those people who claim I only pick on the Catholics when it comes to clerical sexual abuse. So, yeah, they got the Buddhists now. I mentioned this earlier in the show, but I want to mention it again. The Connecticut State Senate has passed legislation last week that will hold police officers in the state personally liable for violating a citizen's First Amendment right to videotape their actions. So if the police wrongfully take your camera, confiscate your camcorder, and you sue the state, if you win that judgment for millions of dollars, that police officer has to pay it, not the taxpayer. Every state in America needs to immediately pass a law exactly like it. We need to start holding the police officer to the rule of law. Now, somebody sent me this interesting little poll the other day about whether Mel Gibson deserves another chance in movies. Apparently, he is slated to appear in an upcoming Robert Rodriguez movie. And there's a big debate. Should he be given another chance? Should he not be given another chance? And my response to that was really very simple. Hollywood's decline in profitability has nothing to do with piracy and content theft. Hollywood, ever ready to barter creativity for political correctness, has allowed a self-selected group of whiners to dictate that only a narrow selection of stories may be told and then portrayed only from a very narrow point of view. Hollywood made this mistake once before when the McCarthy hearings drove the top creative people out of the film industry. Box office suffered then as a result, but they didn't have content pirates to put the blame on back then. Hollywood is making the same mistake again, and the only difference is that instead of shouting commie, the whiners are screaming anti-Semite to ruin the careers of those whose opinions they oppose, or worse, simply those whose positions they covet. But behind the language, this is the same pattern of dictating to Hollywood what they may or may not show in film, and has resulted in the same endlessly repeated formulaic redo of what is deemed safe for the public mind. Hence, The Bourne Malaise is shown 20 to 30 times every month on cable TV, fighting for programming slots with the usual flood of obligatory movies about how evil events that happened in Germany in the last century actually were before we were born. We're going to take a break here for commercials. I'll finish this up when we come back on the other side.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Bum 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 bum.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the last segment of our show today. And we're talking about this pseudo-controversy that's raging through Hollywood right now about whether Mel Gibson deserves another chance to come back into film. And my answer is absolutely. Mel Gibson deserves another chance to do what it is he does, because even if you don't agree with Mel Gibson, and I don't on several points, he has the courage to speak his mind. And if you truly support the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, then you must stand with him against the whiners who feel it is their God-given right to tell others what they may see, read, hear, and think. In the movie Braveheart, Mel Gibson's last line is freedom. He's walking his talk, and we should walk with him. Now, somebody just sent me this story. We were talking about the TSA workers who are getting all this money to smuggle cocaine through the airport. Apparently, the TSA has such a backlog on the security checks on new employees that they've sort of taken an attitude of, go ahead and hire them, and we'll check them out sooner or later somewhere down the road. They're not doing security checks on the TSA employees. They're just hiring them. Here's your rubber gloves. Here's your, you know, your swab stuff here. You know, here's your blue shirt and your badge, and, you know, we're really glad to have you here keeping America's Airlines travel safe, Ahmed. And so, with that now openly acknowledged, how easy is it for somebody who really has ill intent, like a cocaine smuggler, or an Mossad agent who wants to blow up an airplane and blame it on Iran, to simply have their own people working at the TSA security gate? That's apparently what happened in Los Angeles International, and if the smuggler hadn't gone through the wrong gate, they never would have found him. For all we know, there are other smuggling operations still going on there that they think is cocaine, and it could in fact be something else. TSA is a complete joke. They haven't found any terrorists. They can't find any terrorists. We know how to get weapons past those scanners. And now we found out how easy it is to allow entire briefcases full of contraband to go right on through. All you got to do is meet their price. So, somebody has come out with a documentary going in great detail to the fact that President Obama's father was not Barack Obama Sr., but one Frank Marshall Davis. I hate to burst their bubble. We've only been talking about that since 2010, I think. But apparently they're saying the idea that, yeah, same thing I've been saying. The reason for the confusion over the birth certificate is that President Obama's real father is Frank Marshall Davis, and he's a commie. And yeah, he was. And he was also a nude photographer here on the local islands. And the story is that Barack Obama's mother was one of his models. And, you know, photographers and models. Nature happened, 1960s, the summer of love, followed by the autumn of gonorrhea, and these things happen. So, anyway. Apparently, the mad cow crisis is starting to backlash. We are hearing all these foreign countries are banning beef imports from the United States of America because of the new outbreak of mad cow. And the new outbreak of mad cow is caused by taking old dead cows that are infected and feeding them to new young live cows. Why are they doing it? Well, because some money junkie said we can save a few pennies on healthy feed by feeding them old dead cows. And now we've got a disaster in that part of our economy. We'll be back tomorrow. Actually, we're going to be back in an hour for the John Stadmiller Show. So come back in an hour. Actually, stay listening to RBN, and I'll be back here in an hour for another 2 hours of your phone calls. So until then, aloha, America.
The next round.